Our meeting was perfunctory, and although I was neither charmed nor terribly impressed by the couple, they interested me. In a city like Venice, a museum with the cachet of the Guggenheim automatically conferred a certain status upon its administrator. The Guggenheim was an international nexus of art, society, privilege, money, and culture. The cool, spacious rooms with their white walls and terrazzo floors looked out on the Grand Canal in front and a lush, green garden where Peggy and her dogs were buried in back. The palace itself was a curiosity. The Venier family, which had produced three doges, had started construction in 1749 and had completed only the first floor when work stopped for good. The floor of the unbuilt second story served as a spacious roof garden patio, with the Grand Canal spread out before it and huge, towering trees rising up from the garden, providing a verdant backdrop. Inside and out, the truncated white palace offered itself as an elegant setting for receptions, lectures, screenings, gatherings of all types. In addition, the closing of the American consulate in Venice in the early 1970s had left the Guggenheim, by default, the most prominent American presence in Venice. At times, the Guggenheim found itself in the role of a surrogate American embassy. The State Department called up now and then to organize receptions and ask other favors. Clearly, Philip and Jane occupied a position of prominence and power in Venice, and their evident self-consciousness made me all the more curious about them. I had followed up our brief cocktail introduction by talking informally with each of them. Philip and I had coffee a few days later in the museum's cafe. He was friendly and good-humored, though harried. He told me he had studied art history at Cambridge and written a thesis on the Renaissance painter Palma Vecchio. Alluding to his current work, Rylands mentioned that a small Picasso exhibition would be installed in the fall, but he spoke mainly about the museum's expansion plans, which were being formulated by the Guggenheim executives in New York. He was hard-working and earnest, but he struck me as being a little on the dull side, the opposite of his wife. I called on Jane at their apartment later in the week, and we had tea in a light-filled sitting room. She was wearing a modish black-and-white tweed jacket, form-fitting blue jeans and heels. I found her relaxed, engaging, and opinionated, especially on the subject of society figures in Venice. In the 1970s, she had been a Venice-based gossip columnist briefly for the Rome Daily American, but had given it up when it started to raise hackles in Venice. Having observed Venetian society carefully, Jane had found ways of navigating in and around it. Venetians, she said, had a weakness for parties, and this enabled even a foreigner to wield a certain amount of power. How? Invitations. The invitation given, the invitation withheld. Certainly Jane was in a position to issue invitations, and to withhold them.